I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan.
Now the Backstreet Boys are all grown up with their own reality.
Cue the outrage.
We are the pop culture professors.
Pencils down now.
Smart people, dumb topics forever.
Hello. Welcome back to We Stand Together, a pop culture academic symposium. We are the pop culture professors.
We're smart people talking dumb topics.
And that smart person over there is Caitlin Bitsagai.
And that smart person is Lauren Brickman.
Who, you know, I know many of you are tired of hearing this, but it just never ceases to boggle the mind that we are actual real life college professors.
We both have taught at the university level. I'd say Lauren Brickman probably did it today. Is that true?
I sure did. I taught three sections of public speaking today from my bedroom on the internet.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we have master's degrees, but we are more interested in pop culture and in the dumb topics.
Yes, we are. And I have to just take a quick moment to say that I am so excited for the world, because I've started to see my pop culture work bleed into my academic work, because this week a student photoshopped herself into pictures of her and Jodie Foster, and I've honestly never felt more proud.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you've gone rogue with the curriculum.
In a weird way, I've gone exactly in line with the curriculum.
I did. That is weird. That surprises me.
But, you know, as Caitlin said, we are more interested in our pop culture prowess than our academic merits. And so this podcast is an exploration of the world of stanning and what it means to be a stan. Caitlin, what does stanning mean to you?
Stanning, say it with me at home, fans, is to be an obsessive fan of a celebrity, a show, a movie, a franchise, whatever you want.
And Caitlin, what are you standing right now?
Okay, this week I am standing The Vow. It is an HBO Max docuseries about the, actually, don't know how you say it. Is it Nexium? Someone has told me that's actually a prescription pill.
That is a prescription pill for acid reflux. I think it's I've heard it pronounced different ways, but
we are not finished with the docuseries, so it could be that antacids come in at some
point.
Nothing would surprise me at this point. But really, it's about DOS, the thing within the thing. Very weird storytelling. There's volleyball. There's just so many things. Get on this. It's still being released. Sundays.
I am also this week going to dedicate my stand to The Vow because...
Wow, a double.
I came to the show today ready to talk about The Vow, saw that you were going to talk about it and said, you know what? I have to talk about it too because I can't...
Don't be a hero.
I can't think about anything else right now. In fact, until moments ago, I was texting with a friend of the show, Eric Gilton, because she's just started. And I was like, hold on to your butt, girl, because you're going on an adventure.
I think it makes you feel crazy because you also have to do a lot of the storytelling. Like, they never really explain, like, two of the people are married.
Yes.
But you wouldn't have, you would have absolutely no way to guess that because they're not the closest people in the show.
No. I have a long list of questions that I'm hoping in the next five episodes, because we only had four so far. I'm hoping in the next five episodes I get answers. I don't think I will.
No.
But I'm hoping. But you better believe I've started following a lot of these people on the social media. So I will get answers to my questions.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're standing The Vow this week, but something we always stand, that's 5-star reviews.
Oh yeah.
And we got a great one this week. It's from Hot Rod Brazel.
Shout out to Hot Rod Brazel, who titled this review Wild Beyond Belief. Consequently, that is also the title of my memoir that I am penning.
And I like that it's ultimately neutral. But he goes on to say, wow, what can I say? This podcast is wild. From pop culture factoids of days gone by to current references of dubious origin. I always look forward to hearing from the pop culture professors. Every week I laugh, I learn. I live. As I bring this review to a close, I'm reminded of my favorite lyric from the show's theme song, Pencils Down Now.
Wow. Is that the most eloquently written review you've ever read?
It's like an academic essay because, you know, he has a closing.
I might use this as an example in class talking about structure this week. Hot Rod Brazel, A+ for this 5-star review.
Yes. And if you want to get an A+ and be famous on the show, leave us a 5-star review.
Honestly, what else do you have going on right now? You can take a minute.
You got it. But you know who's a busy gal who we also stan?
Who?
This week's guest. This week's guest, Lauren.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. There's a
Please
guest.
Welcome. Yes, someone said yes. And she's about to get wild beyond belief. Please welcome from College Humor, from Astronomy Club, Rekha Shankar.
Ooh, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Now, I'm super excited because Caitlin and I realized as you were logging into today's recording that you have literally no idea what the theme of today's show is.
Absolutely no clue.
But we like to base it around something we know people are a stan for. So you will come along with us on the journey with opinions, thoughts, theses of your own.
Oh,
but
perfect.
Just because I think this is a situation we've never been in before, I would love to know, what do you think the topic might be?
Okay. So wait, you base it on what people in general are fans of, or you base it on something you know about me?
So this comes from real information that Caitlin has sussed out about your stanning.
Okay. Then, oh my God, what have I revealed?
We look at your Caitlin social. We look at everything.
Oh my God. I actually really like this. It feels like a present. I'm like, is it Top Chef? I'll die. Or is it Frasier? I'll die. Or is it, I'll die if it's anything relating to cooking or Frasier.
Okay. Wow. The title of this episode is Chefs in Reality.
Yes! Okay. Well, I'm fully sweating again.
Wow, that was as delightful as I was hoping it would
so
be.
So we will be talking Top Chef, and we will also be talking some other reality show chefs.
I love that.
We love to put our listeners at ease at the top of the show by offering them some proof as to our credibility for the topic.
Okay.
So Caitlin and I always share just a few things that give us sort of like the credentials to dive in on this topic. So Caitlin, what are your credentials this week?
Well, I did go to Perilla, which was Top Chef Season 1 Harold's restaurant back in the day in the West Village. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was really enjoyable. It closed, though. And like he closed like all his restaurants in 2010.
I think a lot of people on that show, all restaurants fail. Owning a restaurant is the worst thing you can do. That's what I've surmised.
Correct.
I have also been to a restaurant of a former Top Chef winner that has since closed. I ate at Michael Vitaggio, who won season 6. I ate at his restaurant, Sack. It's no longer there.
Yes.
I also ate at Vinyl when season 1 contestant Dave Martin was overseeing the menu.
He was overseeing in New York?
Mm-hmm. He was.
That's one of the first restaurants I ever ate at in New York. Oh my God.
That had the most amazing bathrooms.
The greatest bathroom.
With all the album covers?
Yes. Each one was
dedicated to an artist.
A Cher one, a Dolly one.
Yes.
A Nelly.
A Nelly one.
I loved the Nelly one.
The trio.
Elton. Elton, right?
I can't remember if there was I thought it was just the three, but I digress. They were all great. I also would like to say congratulations to Top Chef Judge Tom Colicchio. Because all three of his restaurants, Craft, Temple Court, and Witchcraft that I've been to, all still open as far as I know.
Wow. You got to be a judge. You got to get the judge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, I once went to Vinyl with a friend. And Lauren, you won't believe this. We walked outside and we saw on the street Leslie Jordan.
What a perfect day. What a truly... I don't need to know anything else that happened. You went to Vinyl and you saw Leslie Jordan. That is a... perfect day.
I think he's going to Port Authority.
I love that for him and for you.
So Rika, what are your creds in this sphere, you know?
Man. In quarantine, I have probably seen the first 16 seasons of Top Chef 5 times each. Wow. I love it so deeply. I am a huge Great British Bake Off stan. I've probably seen every season of that Americans are allowed to watch. 5 times. God, I love cooking. I own Carla Hall's cookbook. It's next to
the
me.
Chew.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yes. That looks
great. Listener, she has a lot of post-its in it.
It's so good. Okay. So I eat mostly vegan and if not vegetarian, and like soul food was always something I didn't think was for me.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of meat. And she's like, no, bitch. And there's so many veggie. Look at all these post-it notes. There's so many vegetarian and vegan recipes in here. It's incredible.
What was the best surprise in that cookbook that you were like, oh my gosh, there's a vegan option for? Like, what was the best soul food recipe that you were convinced wasn't for you? And then Carla was like, nah, girl, here's your door. Walk through it.
Okay, well, she does have like a type of bean that you might normally throw ham hock or bacon into, mm-hmm. but you just put smoked salt and it takes up all that flavor. And it's really, really good. It's so good.
That's smart.
Yes.
Okay. Carla Hall.
Yeah. Carla.
I love her.
You know what? The first time we're mentioning her, but it won't be the last in this episode. I promise you that.
Thank you. Hootie-hoo.
Hootie-hoo.
All right. Let's get to our first game.
Yes.
So this one combines a couple things that I've learned that Rika stands. We talked about Top Chef.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people love Top Chef. It's like one of the biggest reality shows in the world. But there's something else that Rika stands that I think is more specific and truly blew my mind, which is that she stands Build-A-Bear. So we're going to play a game called Build-A-Chef. I am going to go through the categories of some things I think make up a top chef, and you are going to choose from them. You're going to build your chef.
Okay.
So first of all, their background. Now, would you like to see them be from like a Michelin star restaurant, very upscale? Or do you want to see your top chef was like a line cook at Applebee's or a chain restaurant?
I want to see a line cook, humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're still doing that, like... That's where they still work.
In my mind, they've graduated, but that's okay.
They have that spirit.
They have that spirit, yeah.
Okay.
Is there a chain that you feel would be best?
Yeah. I think...
If we're building a chef.
Okay, if we're building a chef, we're building a chef. Okay, I'm from Philly, so let's say they started off at like an Auntie Anne's. Okay.
Wow.
They were slinging pretzels at an Auntie Anne's. You know, and not even the flavored kinds. They had to only do originals. No one trusted them with the cinnamon sugar or the glazed and raisin. They were just
so they had to come from behind. Sorry, even at the mall.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean that. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
So okay. About the record. So let's talk fashion.
Yeah.
Do they have a signature headscarf, and what is their pants situation?
Okay, I think pants. Every type of chef that I'm talking about has got very baggy pants, very economical pants, very cargo. It doesn't wear clothes that fit. It doesn't care about fashion, owns like 17 black V-necks and then like really ugly faded jeans that are 17 sizes too big. So I think that's fashion.
Great. And on their head, do they?
Oh yeah. I think you said headscarf. I think, yeah, they have like a sweatband they wear that's like for sports, but it's like they use it for chef stuff. Cause otherwise they'll sweat into all their food. And they make that joke a lot that like, oh, I seasoned it with my sweat.
Oh, yikes. All right. Their gameplay in Top Chef. Now, do they win every challenge, or are they like a dark horse at the finale? You're like, how did they get here?
Yeah. Okay. So I think that they never won a quick fire, but they won like three or four eliminations. And wow. They're like, I just can't win this damn quick fire. They're kind of like Brian Voltaggio in that way, but with the spirit of a Carla Hall where people, yeah, I do like the dark horse aspect. Like people didn't know Carla freaking rules. And she just cooks her food very well. She stays true to herself. So my chef stays very true to themselves, cooking their food. And in that way, they're a dark horse. Because people are like, what? You're cooking soft pretzels?
Oh, my. So the pretzels are a theme.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. A lot of pretzels coming through with this.
Okay.
Chef.
Great. The judges. Do they talk back to the judges, or they have respect for Gail?
Okay. I think they have respect for Gail. I think they kind of are very like, yeah, you're right. I knew, like, they finish the sentences. It's like, so you know why you're in the bottom? It was salty. Yeah, it was a salt lick. Like, I know, chef. I know. I'm sorry. I think they like know already. And they're like, I'm kicking myself. Fuck me. You know, kind of thing.
Right.
And in that way, I think they're like a Harold Dieterle. Like, they're very chill. They're very humble. And they're really like hard on themselves.
Great.
Wow.
And their food, do they favor a certain cuisine that they're always trying to shoehorn in, or are they a jack of all trades?
I think they do upscale. Let's say, because I've already said in an improv, you got to yes and yourself, they do upscale soft pretzels.
So in most challenges, they try to sort of be like, you know, the wonton challenge is, this mine's a pretzel.
This is sort of similar to a soft pretzel, you might say.
Great. And the final thing, just this important question, are they your bitch?
Oh my God, Dave. They're not my bitch.
Okay, interesting. All right, so that's our chef. They started as a line cook making pretzels. They have a sweat scarf and horrible jeans. They win some eliminations, no quick fires. They finish the judges' sentences. They can make pretzels, and they are not your bitch. So now we just need to sew the little heart into the Top Chef.
Yes.
Yes. And do we have a name for this chef?
Yeah.
What is she? What is she or
they?
Okay. Yeah. Their name is going to be, God, I feel like they're from Philly. It's got to be like Pat.
Pat.
Pat said aggressively, we love it. Welcome to the world, Pat, the Top Chef.
I love that. And I have one question. You know, Pat's about to embark on a really special Top Chef journey.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for Pat? You know, after watching 16 seasons, what do you think Pat needs to know so Pat can really thrive on this show?
Pat, you got to cook your food, okay? You can't get bogged down by what everybody else do the food that got you there, okay? Don't try to predict what the judges want. You have to do the food that got you there. That's great. My advice.
That's amazing.
Wow, I love that. I'm I'm all in on Pat. I'm standing Pat this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, giant. original
Pat's pretzel.
Soft pretzel, yeah, smothered with like curry or whatever the hell the challenge is.
I'm really excited. I've never written a fan fiction before, but I feel like this is going to be my first one.
Yes.
All about Pat and her pretzels.
Yes.
Season 17 of Top Chef, which only exists in my imagination.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, now that we're all connecting and bonding with Pat, let's just take a commercial break so that we can just have some alone time with Pat.
Yes.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Wow, Pat just gave me a pretzel.
It was delicious. It
good? Okay.
It was so good. I wasn't sure when I saw Pat get out the Thai chili sauce. I was like, whoa, Pat, what are we doing? But it was delicious.
Yeah, it's nice. You can kind of flash fry the whole pretzel in chili oil. It kind of poaches it. It's nice.
It was great.
I've heard that, but I've never had it. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's off the menu at Onions.
Oh, yeah, they have that, like, in and out.
Yeah, can just wild style, or animal style.
Great. Well, you know, I'm going to keep it going talking about Top Chef because I have a thesis to present. And
Thank you.
It's interesting. Last week when we were sort of planning this show, I offhandedly mentioned to Lauren, maybe I'll mention this topic. But ever since then, it's been stewing. It's been in me. And I need to talk about it in a longer form of a thesis. It's upsetting, and it's I rarely talk about things on the show that I find upsetting, but it's because something I love was broken. And my thesis is that the biggest reality show mistake of all time was the end of season 11 of Top Chef.
Oh,
New Orleans.
My God. Yes. That's what I'm sorry. I didn't even let you finish.
Okay, great. No, actually, now that someone has just agreed with me, I feel like we don't need to present it and I can move on.
It's one of my favorite seasons because New Orleans is such a cool place to do a food show. The ending, and you know who wins? He's from Philly. Sorry,
that's
spoiler.
True.
He's from Philly. Nina. My love, Nina Compton.
Right. So yes, it takes place in New Orleans. The reason it's so upsetting is because truly season 11 of Top Chef is probably one of the best seasons of reality competition ever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely amazing. It's set in New Orleans. It's beautiful. They really do a good job of exploring the city.
I agree.
And they're true guest of the city in a way that they hit the right tone. It's very cool. Yeah. Two amazing eps in particular. The Vietnamese cooking ep.
Oh, so good.
Amazing. And that really spoke to an immigrant population in New Orleans that doesn't get showcased enough on national television.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And then really one of my favorite episodes of television ever, the Commander's Palace episode. The Commander's Palace, if you don't know, it's a very fancy restaurant in New Orleans. It is owned by the Brennan family. The Brennan family owns a lot of different restaurants in New Orleans, including Brennan's. I would submit as a side thesis, the Brennan family needs their own reality show. And I assume that they've been approached for this. I don't know what the holdup is, but like a crazy and crazy rich family that has this like vice-like grip over the New Orleans culinary scene. We got to know what's happening with the Brennans. So the conceit of this episode is also great because it gets together their former executive chefs, which include the now late Paul Prudhomme, who's an icon, an early icon of being a chef on television too.
Yes.
And of course, Emeril Lagasse, who, here's the thing people forget, he's like GOAT. Like, I know he's annoying and BAM and all that stuff, but he's so good.
If you are like someone that's like, oh, for some reason, I'd like to be convinced Emeril is not annoying, watch Top Chef. He's wonderful on Top Chef and every season he's on.
Also, I'm sorry, but anyone who has any doubts, just eat at one of his restaurants because
It's unbelievable. It's undeniable.
Incredible.
It's absolutely undeniable.
I became a vegetarian at age 11 or 12. And among the things I wish I had tried before doing it are like gumbo, like a New Orleans style gumbo. When he talks about gumbo, I want to eat the shit out of it.
When I was in like fourth grade, my family went to New Orleans for Christmas. And I have a very, very clear memory of at like Christmas Eve dinner getting pasta at one of Emeril's restaurants. And I was eating it so aggressively, hot oil went into my eye, but it was so good, I couldn't stop. Like, incredible. He's a goat.
Yeah, and also at his restaurant, Emeril's, there's like a, if you eat seafood, like a seafood cheesecake situation that's like an app. Amazing. He's awesome. This episode is iconic, and it's an interesting challenge because they're split up into teams, and then each team has to make a signature dish from the Commander's Palace menu.
Yes.
Another cool thing is the Brennan family just sits around with Emeril, Paul Prudhomme, and the top chef judges. And they all just kind of like do storytelling and like about the legacy of the restaurant. It's different than any other episode. It's very cool. They talk about how Emeril got the job there and stuff like that. Also, there is a point at which, I guess this is a thing. I do respect Top Chef because they put themselves in a low status situation because the Brennans really don't care if the Top Chef judges live or die. Like, they are so high status in their own mind that they're like, what is this show? I don't care. Then there is the part where Tom acts like I believe it's a catfish dish, is like not, it's well done, but then he says it's not that complicated. And the people from Commanders like tense up, and I believe Emeril says, then go into the kitchen and do it yourself. He tells off Tom Colicchio, which you'll appreciate later because I'm gonna get through my thesis. So that's just one amazing episode that that's just a tangent. Then I want to talk about another contestant, Shirley.
I love Shirley. Shirley's food, I remember a lot of dishes from this show, but so much of her food is so memorable. And I've never freaking eaten it.
And her story is so inspiring. And she is based in Vegas and she does a lot of what she calls shadow cook, which means she can recreate someone else's thing very well. She doubted her own creativity.
Yep.
But when she wins the Vietnamese episode, she says, I'm not a shadow chef. Yes. I am a chef.
And to further her beautiful story, she used to work in finance and she loved cooking. And her husband, Jimmy, was like, they were talking about it. And she's like, yeah, pursue cooking. So she became a chef and her mother didn't necessarily agree with that choice. But then you see when Shirley gets to a certain episode and her mother eats her food, her mother in Mandarin goes, I'm very proud of you, Shirley. And she even asks her sister how to say it in English. I got chills.
Shirley is...
Lover.
Amazing. Shirley comes in third.
But she returns in Top Chef season 14, South Carolina. She comes in.
Oof. Okay. She's inching up. Shirley not winning would be perfectly acceptable if one of the most dominant contestants of all time, the deserving queen, Nina Compton, had won. Nina was amazing.
You talked about it when we were in the Build-A-Chef store. You talked about chefs.
Yes, when we were in the store.
Yeah.
You talk about a chef who repeatedly wins. Nina, for people who haven't seen, she crushes every elimination. It was like comical. It was like, Nina, please save some for the rest of us. The chefs were even like good humored about it. She was just so good.
And in the, so good.
In the finale, she didn't even like screw up. She kind of just did the Top Chef like fatal error. She did a couple too many things. And
yeah. Okay. First of all, they go to I hate the finales where they go to a different place. I don't like it. I know there's like spoilers and shooting reasons, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like it. So they go to Maui. There's four. There's also Carlos, who had a strange journey. He was eliminated, but then was back.
Yes.
Carlos gets eliminated, then Shirley. And then they are helping as sous chefs to Nina and Nick. Nick sucks. Nick, I should also mention Nina and Shirley are women of color.
Yeah.
And Nick is a white guy who just can't even bother to be a villain. Like, that's what's frustrating. It's not like he's a heel. He's just boring.
He's boring and gets a little angry sometimes. You're like, ugh, you're just like.
He gets angry in that nerdy guy way, and he doesn't salt his food. Like,
oh my God. Yeah.
I'm truly not a good chef at all. But, like, that's rule one. That's, like, what you do. And he consistently had that same problem.
Usually on Top Chef, if they give you a seasoning note and then they give it to you again, they'll kind of be like, don't let this be a pattern. Nick got that note, I don't know, 5 times, except for one time when he made gnocchi and one time when he made funnel. Like,
So they go to the finale. Also, I don't like this thing. That I have to say,
tell me
that it's beyond Top Chef. It's just like something men do where it's like the fact they have children blows their mind and they think it's like, I just feel like they want a lot of credit for being a dad.
It redeems their personality or something.
Versus,
yeah.
I just, a mom doesn't usually do that unless she's like Kate Gosselin. Like it's like.
The only moms on Top Chef that do it are ones that are like, I had a baby 5 minutes ago and came
right,
on the show.
Right.
And I miss my newborn.
I watched the first episode of the new Dancing with the Stars, and Neve from Catfish is on it, and he can't stop talking about how he has 2 kids. And I'm like, well, a lot of the contestants have kids. Why do you think that's like your thing? It's just, it's just strange.
Especially when men have daughters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, so I don't know. That was just a digression. I already hated Nick, so I was just willing to be like, shut up about your kids.
Yeah.
So then, as Rika says, it wasn't really a volatile ending as far as like the food they made. It seemed like it wasn't amazing, like the level that Nina had cooked at, but like, they basically were going to give it to her anyway. And then Calicchio comes in and he's like, no, you have to base it off this. And they were like, but she's like the best contestant ever. And they're like, he's like, no.
Because they're very all about base it off the last challenge. You can't be cumulative.
It made me, I mean, I get that for week to week, but this is the winner.
Yes.
And I can't believe, I'm still in shock. And it's literally 7 years later. And the Nina won fans' choice. So she won $10,000, which the best person never wins that. It's always a funny, like funky person.
Yeah.
That the fans just want to be like, we shout out your weird personality. But they gave it to her because they were like, this is all we can do.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. here's what I have to reveal about myself at the end. Mm-hmm. I had watched all 11 seasons of Top Chef up until then. Since this day, February 5th, 2014, I haven't seen an episode.
You stopped watching it?
Away. I was livid. And you know I have no integrity. This is the first time that it's ever happened. And I'm open to getting back with it. I mean, hearing that Shirley is on a future season is like, obviously.
Yes. I'll say there's a few returning people. Nina is not one of them. She
doesn't
return.
Why would she come back?
She's
an executive chef in New Orleans now.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Which is interesting. She's not from there.
She's from St. Lucia, famously.
Yeah. Yes. So that's my journey. I'll turn to Eureka for some season recommendations that I can get back into.
Okay.
But I am hurt.
Yes. Season recommendations. What's ironic is season 11 is my favorite season. The ending stinks because of who wins.
It is an amazing, but it's so many great episodes.
It's an incredible season. I also really like season 15, which is Colorado. Okay. Everyone's really nice on that season.
That's fun. I could see that's like, I need those kind of waters again.
Yes. Back in. Mm-hmm. And season 16, Kentucky is really cool. I host a Top Chef live stream called Talk Chef. Last week we had the runner up from Top Chef season 16, Kentucky, which was, I was losing my mind. It was wonderful. And that's a really good season too. And then season 17 is Top Chef All Stars, which is good. Okay. It's a lot of friendly faces from the past.
Now, if for our listeners who have maybe never watched a single episode,
okay,
do you think they need to start with season one, episode one, or like
absolutely
what do you think?
Not?
What's the entry point?
I think you start at season. You can start at season three, but maybe you'll still be like, eh. I think start at season three, four, or five, and you won't go wrong. Season three is Top Chef Miami. Mm-hmm. Season four is Top Chef Chicago, and season five is Top Chef New York. I think all of those are pretty good starting points.
Yeah.
Do not watch season two. Sorry.
Wait, which is season two?
Marcel, Ilan.
Oh.
That's also Padma's first season.
Yes. Yeah. Because famously, Katie Lee Joel, Billy Joel's ex-wife, was the host of season one.
I think Padma actually took a little bit to get into it. For it to be a fit.
She, to me, exalts that show in so many ways, especially when you compare it to season one. Mm-hmm. I don't remember season two as much because it is the worst season of all of the seasons. It's so bad.
From what I remember of season two, she just hadn't quite, like, owned the space yet.
Totally. That's what I mean, yeah.
But by season three, I feel like she was in it, from what I remember. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember what season lost me, because when it first came out, like, this was my show, and like I remember my whole family, whenever I would come home from college, like, this was a show the whole family would watch. And I remember my dad constantly being like, why am I watching this when I can't taste the food? Like,
it doesn't matter.
It broke his brain. His brain that he could get so into something. Yes. He's like, I have no idea.
Top Chef, a thing they boast from season one, which isn't actually true in season one, it's all about the food. It's all about the process of making the food. Which is why Top Chef Desserts did not work. They did two seasons. Mm. Season one of Top Chef Desserts is actually the worst season and most upsetting season of television I've ever seen in my life. It like physically depressed me when I watched it. I rewatched it recently. It's like true. In the first four episodes, I think two people quit. One person, a camera falls in their head. They don't address it. And she gets a gash on her forehead. And has a band-aid the whole time. They will not address it.
Oh,
one person has a mental breakdown and gets carried away in an ambulance.
Oh my God.
It's really horrible. Desserts aren't as fun to watch because you're not tasting as you go. It's like a little science experiment. You put it in the oven, it comes out bad or good or whatever.
Right.
Great point.
This is exciting. I'm like, you're reminding me about how much I loved the show, and I'm excited to like dive back in.
Thank you guys for hearing me out.
Yeah,
you
know, of course.
Something I thought I was just going to offhandedly mention, I realized I needed the therapy. I needed to talk about it.
No, I think that's perfect. I love that. I rewatch every season and discover something new. But that's something a first-time watcher will see in season 11, is that the ending is not there.
But I think if you haven't seen 11, do watch 11. And it's actually better that you know, so your heart won't be broken.
Yes. that's true.
Well, thank you so much, Caitlin, for sharing. And I think it's time for another game. Y'all ready to play another game?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Rika, you may or may not know this, but We Stan has become a well-known incubator for new ideas. We're constantly on the cutting edge of the entertainment industry. In fact, many TV shows have been pitched on this show, and from what I hear, many of them have been greenlit. So today we're going to pick your brain about who the next big celebrity cooking show is going to star. So I have done some research, okay, and I've compiled a list of 5 celebrities that, okay, as far as I know, do not currently identify as a, like, host in, yeah, a, like, cooking or food brand, right? Like, okay, as far as I know, and please, Stans or Reka, Caitlin, please correct me if I have gotten this wrong, but as far as I know, these 5 celebrities don't identify part of their brand as being foodies. They may personally, but, like, professionally, this is not their brand. And so I've come up with a little game today called Chef's Kiss or Chef Dismissed.
Woo!
And so I'm going to give you 5 celebrities, and you're going to tell me if you are giving them the chef's kiss and green lighting their show, or if this chef is getting dismissed. Okay. Now, here's the thing. If you decide to give them the chef's kiss, I'm going to need you, off the top of your head, to come up with a name for a show and a log line to go with it. So you're going to give me these shows off the top of your head. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. The first celebrity you get to decide if you're giving a chef's kiss or if you're dismissing is Niall Horan, formerly of One Direction.
Oh my God, dismiss. I'm sorry.
All right. I understand. I had to bring it up. We recently did an episode about One Direction, and yes, I had previously not cared, but now I am all in, and just today referred to him as my future husband, so I had to find a way to talk about him.
Can I say why? Okay, so, mm-hmm, I have such a thing. Is he, like, really young? Is he, like, early 20s?
I think he's 26.
Okay. Because, like, in my mind, he was, like, 21. And I'm, like, I don't believe you should be famous before you're, like, 25. I think it damages your brain and it hurts. Well, it hurts you and you become, like, demented. So I think I'm going to deny him a show because he's already too famous.
That's totally fair. All right. Based on that reaction, I'm excited to see where we go with this next one. Number 2 is Broadway's Audra McDonald. Or you may know her as Private Practice's Audra McDonald.
Oh my God. Wait. Okay. Am I allowed to Google?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I think I know who this is, but I just want to get a visual.
If you ever watched, yes, Private Practice, she played Taye Diggs' wife, best friend, yes, of Kate Walsh's character. Yeah, she's a real living Broadway legend. And as far as I know, does not consider herself a foodie, but she gives me the vibe of someone who would be comfortable in a kitchen.
Okay. I'm going to give her a chef's kiss.
Ooh.
And I'm going to say her restaurant is actually a bakery. It's going to be called Broad Cakes. and the premise is she makes show-stopping cakes every time.
I love this.
Yes. Every episode. Each cake is inspired by, like, a different musical or a different Broadway star. And it's always a show-stopping cake with, like, a, wow, musical number to boot at the end.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Okay. All right.
Awesome. All right. So we've got 1 dismissal and 1 chef's kiss. Okay. We're gonna roll on into number 3. Legendary comic Margaret Cho. Is Margaret Cho getting a chef's kiss or is she getting dismissed?
She's getting a chef's kiss.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to say Margaret Cho's show is called Margs with Cho, and it's like a bar, pub food, and, like, cocktail hour show,
right?
And it's all about, like, pairing a bar food with a cocktail kind of thing. So there might be a signature cocktail you have to make food for, a signature bar food you have to make a cocktail for.
Wow.
I'm all in on this one, too. I can't wait, okay, for it to premiere.
Thank you.
And she'll definitely go there.
She would be, like, a charming bartender host behind, like, kind of flirting with you or, like, you know, just telling you funny stories.
Yeah. All right. This sounds great. I can't wait to watch it. All right. This next one. Widely considered the greatest sprinter of all time, are you giving Usain Bolt the chef's kiss or is this potential chef getting dismissed?
Okay. I'm gonna give him a chef's kiss because Rachel Ray has a show called, was it like 20 minute meals or so? It was like you cook meals in under 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I feel like Usain Bolt can really use his sprinting powers.
Yes.
Be like, make me a 10-minute meal. And it's like, I think it would be called like, impress Usain Bolt, essentially. hey, I've already impressed you. I'm the fastest sprinter in the world.
That's true.
Make me a meal in 10 minutes. You owe me. You owe me, bitch, is the tagline.
I love this idea that it's just like a speed contest.
Yes.
That's badass.
Yes.
All right. Wow. Okay. So far, 3 out of 4 of these celebrities have gotten the chef's kiss. I have a lot of
money. Yeah.
I love this. Well, that's perfect because guess what, Reka? The 5th and final celebrity is you. Are you giving yourself a show? And if so, what's the show all about?
Oh my God. I have to say yes to myself.
Yes.
Chef's kiss.
Yes.
Okay. And unfortunately, I am going to pitch another baking show. I am going to call it Rake and Bake. And it will be that you have to just bake items with things you already have in your house. You're not allowed to go to the grocery store. So you have to like improvise, play your own version of Chopped. It's like, what's in your pantry today? Okay.
Oh my God.
Coconut flour, cinnamon, whatever, you know, condensed milk. Okay, great. You're making this.
Wow.
Amazing.
I have chills. Well, congratulations, Reka.
I got a show.
New show.
Wow, you're on the same network with Usain Bolt, Audra McDonald, and Margaret.
The new TGI app.
Well, we're going to pop a bottle of champagne and celebrate Reka's massive success, and then we'll be right back. All right. Well, the bottles are popping and the party's not stopping, but I have a really important thesis to share with you all today. And, you know, I wasn't totally sure where my thesis was going to go this week. You know, we were really Top Chef heavy and I thought about diving into some old feelings I had about that show. But then I realized that I have a current wound that's open and I'm hoping today's thesis will help me heal it. And so today I want to start off my thesis by asking you both a question. What does the words crazy delicious mean to you? When you hear crazy delicious, what does that evoke? What does that make you think of?
If I'm divorcing it from the show, when I think crazy delicious, I'm like, this is a unique taste. I haven't tasted before. It is extremely craveable. I like can't stop eating it even if I'm full.
Amazing. Caitlin?
Yeah, sauce.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Oh, wait. Sauce. Wait, I forgot to add.
Sauces are good.
Sauce.
Sauce. The sauces are the best
food. I love sauce too.
Now, Reka, your answer gave me a lot of hope because you prefaced your answer by saying, if you divorce it from the show, which means you know about the show Crazy Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I today my thesis is all about the show. So we don't need to divorce ourselves from the show at all because today my thesis is Crazy Delicious is the best reality cooking competition series that folks are not watching and should be. So today I'm doing a PSA because I need to get a season 2. Before I dive into it too far, I'm going to share with you all the trailer just to give some context because I just love this show so much, and I want to get us all in the mood. So here's the trailer from Crazy Delicious.
Plant-based diets are so in at the moment.
Welcome to our magical edible world.
87 thoughts already.
Three inventive cooks are here to make the most insanely delicious dishes possible.
Food should make you happy, so I like to make happy food.
They must impress the formidable food gods.
It is go big or go home.
The most imaginative cook will win the golden apple.
Go forth and forage.
This is amazing. I feel like I just want to skip around and pick everything.
I'm making strawberry cheesecake buffalo wings.
It's time to do the splits.
Holy moly.
Oh my gosh. These are great tomatoes here.
I'm going to come and grab some of those.
Tastes like lemonade.
It does a bit, doesn't it?
What you'd imagine a trifle to be, but on a bit of steroids.
In terms of feeling like you're traveling, I hear the seagulls.
There's no end to the possibility.
Watermelon.
Guys, good luck.
I want you to say toot toot.
Toot toot.
That's you tooting your own horn, girl.
This is Crazy Delicious.
I got chills. Okay, like I literally am sitting here with full-fledged chills because Crazy Delicious is crazy amazing. Now, before I get too deep down this thesis hole, Rekha, you are familiar with it. So have you watched the show before?
I have never seen it. And to be honest, I didn't know that that was the premise. I've seen the thumbnail. I also sometimes confuse it with Ugly Delicious. Mm-hmm. So I've seen the thumbnail and was kind of like, that this is not a great show. So I haven't clicked it.
So I think that's I think that's happening worldwide. Like, yeah. I'm really worried because I have so many friends that love the Great British Bake Off, that love Top Chef. Like, there are certain cooking shows that I hear people talk about a lot, and yet none of them have been talking about this show. And so I'm worried. And so I felt like I needed to bring this to the public because right now, nothing is certain, and we have to fight for the things that we love. And right now, I need to fight for Crazy Delicious. Now, if it wasn't clear from that trailer, Crazy Delicious is a British cooking competition. And I found a description online that described the show as, "Crazy Delicious everyday meals are turned into extraordinary culinary creations in a magical food competition on an edible set. The UK's most talented food lovers are challenged to produce meals that must impress with originality, visuals, and extraordinary flavors." This show premiered on Netflix back in June, but it originally aired on Channel 4 in the UK back, I believe, during the winter. And there's a lot of things to love about this, but I have boiled it down to keep things simple and to really persuade viewers and listeners to get in on this. I've boiled it down to three things that I think really make this show special.
Yes.
And the first thing is, I'm just going to restate something I've already said. The set is edible. It is an edible set.
I wasn't prepared for that.
It's so crazy to me that the production behind that sounds so annoying. I can't believe there's just like a PA hiding carrots in fake dirt and like, wow.
I definitely want to see a behind the scenes almost before I watch the show.
Oh, I want to see it so badly because there are things that they eat that I'm like, what? How is that like not like plaster?
It's taking those viral Twitter videos. Yes. Mm-hmm.
To the next
turn
level.
Out to be cake.
Yes.
To everything is food.
Yeah. This is like the good side of that coin, right? Like those cakes that you cut into that like look like babies or puppies, that's the evil side of this magic. This show is like the delightful side where it's like, ooh, I'm like, every time they bite into something that's surprising, I'm like, instead of being horrified, I'm like, you're a magician. Show me more magic. And I love it. So the set is just absolutely incredible. And then the second part kind of ties into the set, but it's the fact that they like really lean into this like biblical energy, and the judges are called the gods of the garden, and I'm obsessed with it. And they like actually are in like all white sometimes. It's like so funny.
They looked like yeah.
And they are like, they're like sitting above the contestants on this like mountaintop, and the contestants have to like walk up to bring their food, which also is precarious. And you're like, oh no, is the food going to make it all the way up the mountain?
There is so much. Okay. So I said the thing about like Top Chef is just about the food. There is so much about the show that is not about food. So I wonder if I would like, I probably like it. I like every food show, but there is so like the idea that you have to put it high up, like you're putting a freaking cake on a shelf or something, and like, that's so crazy.
I love it because like the thing is though is that it really is about the food ultimately, but it's about like pushing. The thing that I loved about it was like it pushes food to the limit, right? Because it's like challenging your idea of like, well, what is like food. It's a culinary art. Like, I think that's the thing that I liked about it more than anything. And like, I think that's the thing that was fun to watch it is like, unlike other cooking shows where sometimes I'm like, my brain hurts because I'm like, I don't know what this tastes like. this show is so much about like the visual appeal that I'm like, as much as I want to bite into that watermelon that looks like it's a pork loin, like
well said
like I want to bite into it, but like I'm just so like visually stimulated that I'm like all into it. And the thing is like, as much as they have all this cheesy Gods of the Garden stuff, like it doesn't feel like it goes just up to the edge of too far, but like you never but like you don't fall off the cliff, because at the end of the day, like all of the judges are like real foodies. And I told you we were going to talk about Carla Hall again, and we are, because Carla is holding it down.
Toot toot. Say toot toot. Oh, I love that.
She's like, it's so fun, because they're really like, all three of the judges, Heston, Niklas, Carla, like they're all like very serious chefs, but they're also like, it's just like a really positive show. Like there's no Gordon Ramsay energy in here. Like everything is like, it's like happy. Like, I think the thing that I hear from people who really like Great British Bake Off, like about the positivity and the warmth, and like even though it's a competition, no one's out to get each other, like that's very much this world. This world is very supportive, and like it's a celebration of food and imagination more than a cutthroat competition.
Right.
And I like that. Now, my third and final reason why everyone should watch this show and why I love this third thing has nothing to do with food. I am obsessed with the woman who hosts the show. And I had no idea who she was before the show. She just like the first shot on the show is this delightful, full-figured woman in a fabulous sparkly dress biting into something that doesn't look like it should be edible. And I was like, who are you? I'm obsessed. And her name is Jade Adams. And she is a British comic who's been a rising star in the UK since like 2012. And I went on a deep dive about this woman. She like got into stand-up as part of her like process of grieving her sister's death. Like sister passed away. Like I think her sister and her had more of like a dance background, but like her road to comedy was like all about like processing and like trying to move on. And she's like constantly working over in the UK. But as far as I know, this is like, this year has been like a big year. She had this Crazy Delicious show. She was on Good Omens, that Amazon show.
Oh.
And this woman is on the rise. And I just wanted to shout out to Jade before she gets too, too big, because I think we're supposed to be friends. And honestly,
yeah.
As much as this is a plea for people to watch Crazy Delicious, this is also a plea. If anyone knows how I can get in touch directly with Jade, I just feel like we're supposed to be friends.
I think so.
I'm looking it up, and the dance classes she did with her sister were freestyle disco dancing classes.
I believe at her aunt's dance studio.
Yes.
I believe it was her aunt from what I read.
Wow.
I am truly obsessed with this woman, and falling so deeply into Stan with Jade made me realize one of the things that's always been like a weird thing I have felt over the years watching like food shows is that like being a plus size woman and having a complicated relationship with food, there's always been like on one hand, I can get really into these shows, but on the other hand, there's always this feeling of like, it's not for me, or I'm not supposed to be into this, or like, I don't know. I've had like complicated feelings about food shows. And like, I remember I had a roommate many years ago who also had very complicated, disordered eating issues. And like for her, when she was restricting her diet, she was like digesting episodes of like cooking shows all the time. And that kind of like changed how I thought about cooking shows too. And so like, I had a weird thing. But seeing Jade just like living her best life, looking fabulous, unabashedly and without shame, loving food, I was like, I needed this. I needed to see like a big woman eating food and loving it.
I think that's a great point, because all the like slick kind of cooking shows are always hosted by like straight sized people. Because like that's who's allowed to eat food, quote unquote. I'm doing big air quotes.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
So I'm just like, shout out to Jade for helping me articulate something that I had not previously been able to articulate. But I saw her and I was like, I literally got so excited. I like was laughing and crying to myself alone in my bedroom in the middle of the night, which is canonically when I watched television.
Yeah, she, I mean, her dress alone in that trailer, I would assume you're best friends.
Does she wear this dress every episode?
So yes, which brings me to a question that I have. Yeah. Well, I have a theory that they shot the entire season in like a weekend.
Yeah.
And because they don't really do wardrobe changes. And with that set being as complicated as exactly. it looks, it's like you built that set once, you refrigerated the hell out of it, and like we shot everything as quickly as we could.
I agree. I think that's got to be true.
Right. And they just got her 9 of that dress.
Yeah, so, just in
like,
case.
She sweated through it. Replaced.
It's like, I imagine, like, I was actually trying to figure out, is there any way they possibly shot this in one day?
Yeah.
I don't think they could do it in one day, but they did it in a very short amount of time. And it feels very much like one very long day when you binge watch it, like yes. I did, because I have no self-control.
I have to say, I just found out about this show.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very intriguing. Can I say an issue?
Yeah.
I think the name.
I agree. I think
the name is not specific enough.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be called something Willy Wonka-esque, because that's what yeah. it is.
Like a 9-word title that would kind of tell us.
Mr.
Like,
Megorium's Wonder.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Like Jade's Wild Food, real set, eat it.
Yeah, all of these things. I agree. And I think that's part of why I was so concerned about the viewership for the show, because I feel like there's just no buzz. No one's talking about
no.
it.
No.
I also think the title is way too similar to Ugly Delicious, which is a show I did not want to watch.
Fair enough. I think like the brand, the title is not drawing people in, and I think people are confused. And so let me ask you this. Now that you've gotten a little bit of a taste of the show, are you two gonna give it a watch?
Yeah. Can I ask, are the people cooking, are they chefs? Are they amateur? Are they home cooks? Are they
it seemed to be a combination. Like
okay.
But each episode you meet totally new cooks. So there's 3 cooks on each episode.
Oh, and so it's like a,
it's more like a,
it's like a nailed chopped. It or chopped.
Yeah. 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 It's yeah. more like a chopped. But each episode has 3 chefs, and there are 3 rounds each episode, which is pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. I would give it a watch. The only reason I ask is like, I like nailed it because Nicole is deeply funny, but I don't mm-hmm. like watching people be like super bad at something.
Oh, nobody. None of these chefs are like horrifically bad.
Cool.
Like they're like, a lot of them might have gone to the same like chef school as Pat from Applebee's.
Okay,
like,
cool.
they're not all like Michelin star chefs.
Oh yes, yeah. I don't need that.
But like, they're like
Bake Off. It's like people who just like cooking, but they're not like fancy.
Yeah, some of them, I think it's a combination. Some of these folks came in with like serious professional abilities, and some of them are just like very, very talented, you know, home cooks. But like, even when things don't work, it's never because they were never like destined to fail. You know what I mean? Like every single chef on the show has promise and ability.
Right.
Some of them just like, you know, the pressure gets to them, or there's some crazy, because this everything that they're cooking is like wild. So like some of the problems that arise are like, it's because you're trying to do something too crazy.
Oh my god.
And I'm obsessed. But I hope, you know, I hope you'll take a dive. I hope you'll test the waters. And listeners, I hope you'll all just, you know, even if you don't enjoy it, if you could all just like hit play and you can leave the room. Like, if you leave the room, just, like, give the show watches, because
the algorithm.
I personally, Lauren Brickman, needs a season 2.
Are there now, only 6 episodes? Sorry.
It's really short. It's a really short season. I think it's only, like, I think it's, because, you know, it's British.
Those British
right. folks, they love a short season.
Yes.
Our listeners do know how many hours of television you do watch a week. So mm-hmm. I'll leave it up to the listener to each decide whether Lauren having more of a show is healthier.
Listen, if I'm not watching this, I'll just be watching something else, but don't I deserve to love what I watch?
Uh-huh.
And
so you're saying you're gonna use your drug no matter what?
Yeah.
You need to make sure it's healthy, you have clean needles.
Yeah. Listen,
okay. I just want you to be safe. Argument. Just do it in the, I'd rather you do it in the house.
I guess that argument yeah. makes sense to me.
Listen, Caitlin, I may have talked about The Vow as my stand of the week, but you know I watched multiple shows this week.
I
if you think I
don't know that as a fact, I know it in my bones. So
if you think If you think that I got through the weekend without binge watching the entirety of Young Wallander on Netflix, you'd be wrong. Because yeah. I definitely watched all of Young Wallander and I liked it more than the critics did. I'll say that.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for...
No, I'm excited to check out this show.
I am too.
Thank you for indulging me in this plea to our listeners and to Netflix to please everyone get on board. And at the very least, if you're not going to give me a season two of Crazy Delicious, at least give me Jade Adams' contact information. I'll settle for one of the two.
Sounds good.
Honestly? Yes. You're right, though. Catching a star, like, right before they explode.
Yeah, and she's real close. Like, she's got, like, 35,000 followers on Instagram. Like, okay. she might be just out of reach. But, you know, I still have friends with that many followers that talk to me, so... I'm hopeful I can make a new friend with that many followers.
And they can vouch for you.
Yeah.
They can vouch.
I'll be like, look at my other blue check verified friends. I'm fine.
Wow. What a journey. This is our first food episode, Lauren.
This is our first episode dedicated entirely to food.
I'm hungry now.
I'm so hungry.
Well, before we log off to all go stuff our faces, Reka, for those listening that are now in stan with you, where can they find you and follow you?
Oh my God. I'm on Twitter at Reka L. Shunker. So R-E-K-H-A, L as in Larry, S as in Sam, H-A, N as in Nancy, K-A-R. That's what you got to do. Spell it out on Twitter. And then ReikaShunker.com. You can watch comedy videos.
And if there's one reality cooking show that we didn't mention today that people should check out, is there anything that we didn't mention that people should be like on the lookouts for?
Top Chef. Chef's Table.
She
loves it. Yeah, right. Chef's Table season 4 is all desserts.
Ooh.
And that's fun. I think that's a fun watch. Christina Tosi of Milk Bar. So David Chang's like dessert place is episode 1 of that season. And I think that episode is crazy because you just realize how much sugar Christina Tosi eats in a day. And you're like, that's crazy. She literally like goes to a stand. She's like, can I get 3 deep fried Snickers? And you're like, wow. If only I could without truly falling asleep. That episode's really good. So I highly recommend Chef's Table season 4.
All right.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
Yes.
Well,
follow Reka Shunker. Find her wherever she is at the .com.
Yes, at the .com and on the Twitter.
And you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Gmail. We stan social.
Yeah, we got a Gmail. It's pretty huge.
It's huge. It's invite only, but we got that invite. We're on the list. But slide into our inbox. Slide into our DMs. Let us know what's a topic or a guest that you hope we're going to explore.
Oh, yeah.
We want to hear from you. And as we said at the top of the show, get your shout out by leaving one of those fancy little 5-star reviews.
Woo!
Yep. Until next time, this has been
We Stan Together.